Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Visit with us today as we fellowship. Lord, give us understanding, entrance of your word. Let it bring light and show us, Lord, things that we have never known concerning the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, listen, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. I want to get right to this topic. Well, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about Holy Spirit. Powerful lesson, I believe it's going to be this morning. You know, and let's not, you know, just open your minds. Let's not have any conceived notion about anything. Just open your minds. Let's hear what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us here this morning. Praise the Lord. So, right off the bat, I want to say things like, you know, when we say Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, you know, well, talking about the same, it's all the same thing. People might say Holy Ghost, somebody might say Holy Spirit, somebody might say the Spirit of God, all the same. You know, we're going to start and just take a look at what the Lord or God himself promised, how he promised the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at what Jesus said about Holy Spirit. We're going to look at what the role of the Holy Spirit is, why it's so important, especially following the series that we've had, you know, the last few days, and why that is so, so important. And as the lesson goes along, we invite you to invite others as well. We're going to look back at the very beginning, the first introduction that we had to the Spirit of God. It's right there in the very first book at the very beginning. You know, this is how, you know, and there is this thing that's called the law of first mention. You know, so the very first time that the Spirit of God is mentioned, let's take a look at what he did. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1 and 1. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And right away we see that the next thing is going to introduce the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God began to speak forth some things. So the first introduction that we see here of the Spirit of God is that he moved upon the face of the waters. Well, what exactly does that mean? And what follows after that? You know, we see that right after that, that God began to speak things into existence. You know, just picture that. I mean, picture what happened here. The Holy Spirit went forth first, moved over the face of the waters. It's kind of like preparing the way for everything. Then God began to speak. He began to speak things into existence. Well, I have used this verse many times in talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit can bring order out of chaos like nobody else. Because we see that this thing was just, whole place was chaotic. Bible says without form, you know, and void, you know, and the Holy Spirit doesn't like things being without form, doesn't like things being empty or void or darkness, you know. So the Lord will send forth his Spirit, you know, to fix all of that. And to still today, we see that, look, for the Lord to really do anything significant in our lives, I'll be the Holy Spirit. Smart power people cannot, we'll be talking about salvation and all that. People cannot even receive salvation without the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, so this is the first mention of where we see Spirit of God. Like I said, whether I'd say Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, we're still talking about the same thing. Now, throughout the Old Testament, I'm not going to spend too much time. I want to concentrate on the how Jesus himself taught us, you know, about the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, most of the time we heard, you know, that the Spirit of God was with someone, the Spirit of God moved upon someone, and so on and so forth, you know. But in the book of Joel, we see this incredible prophecy, which even Peter would quote later on the day of Pentecost. He quoted that. Here's what he said. You know, he said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters," this is Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams. I mean, old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And the servants and handmaids are not left out either." So this is not just for the elite, you know, it's for everybody. He said all flesh, you know, but, you know, there's some, the power that he gives to God's elect is a little bit different. But he does pour out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. It's this thing, you know, that he promised here, said all flesh. Well, we know that for the elect, it would be different what we actually experience. But, you know, this was promised. So, on the day of Pentecost, Peter will refer to it. But before we get there, you know, let's see some of the things that Jesus, you know, spoke about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit eventually came. Now, there are many things, many, many verses of scripture where Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, or even the apostles wrote about him. So I'm going to, let me start here, the book of John chapter 14. And I want to say a very significant thing here out of John chapter 14. First punchline today is that salvation is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to his church. And that's to you if you are a believer. Now, let's see how Jesus put it in John chapter 14. And this is when he began to introduce, and John, the apostle, he wrote about this quite a bit. You know, and he said, look, you know, if you love me, he said, well, you know, then keep my commandments. And here's why he says in John, let's begin to read from John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is Jesus speaking. And John was capturing. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So Holy Spirit is referring to, I mean, Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit here as another comforter. Well, that tells us that Jesus himself is a comforter. You know, but he said, I'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. You know, so the first thing that Jesus is saying here is that I will give you the Holy Spirit to abide with you forever. And now Jesus will characterize the Holy Spirit, said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So we see right here, Holy Spirit is not given to the world because he seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Now, see the way that Jesus characterized that? First, he tells us that it's not for the world, so the Holy Spirit is not given to the world. For the world, it's salvation, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's gift to the world. Now, this is God's gift to the church. He says, you know, the world cannot receive him. Now, but he also says that you know him. Well, did they really? Yeah. We'll find out in a minute. Now, but he says that he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. See how Jesus separated that? There is a dwelling with and there is a dwelling in. And that's how Jesus put it right here. He dwelleth with you now, but he shall be in you, shall be in something later. At the moment that he was talking to them, Jesus was saying the Holy Spirit is already with you. But at some future point, he shall be in you. So let's take note of that. Now, this is very fundamental. All right. So he said, and then he goes on and says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, he's talking about another comforter. But now he switches back and says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, if you pieces this all together, I mean, put all these things together, you'll find that, you know, in essence, it's really the same person. I mean, Jesus coming back in a different form. You know, people say, you know, even today we say, oh, I received Jesus into my heart. How can you receive Jesus into your heart? I mean, if Jesus is like a real person, you know, how is he going to enter into your heart? You know, so, but we do, but we all say that, you know, I have Jesus in my heart and all of these things and so on, you know, and when Jesus, but I'll get to that. It's really the Holy Spirit. Now, but when you see what Jesus is saying, say, say, look, I'll pray the Father, he'll send you another comforter. But now I turn around and say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So if that other comforter comes, it'll be I in a different form, you know, now. And he says, you know, he goes on to tell them here in verse 25. And he says that, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So now we see that he brings it together. You know, Holy Ghost is called Comforter here by Jesus. Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, I want you to notice that because he's saying, you know, I'll pray the Father will send you the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, you know, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. You know, and so on. And another place, and which I'll show you in a minute, you say, whom I will send to you from the Father. And then we'll see how all of that relate together. Now, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, let's begin to see the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit here. He shall teach you all things, besides being a comforter, because he's already talked about not leaving you comfortless. I'll be with you, you know, somebody that will be with you forever, that he may abide with you. So this is a, you know, an everlasting companion, a guide. You know, I love to call him the governor, but, you know, we'll get to that. Now, he will teach you all things. So again, we see the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And he shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have already said to you. Now, he has some powerful things which we should begin to see about what the Holy Spirit will do when we have it, the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know, so, but before all of this, let's see how John the Baptist characterized the Holy Spirit. Because remember, in the book of Malachi, you know, chapter 3, we're told that, you know, John the Baptist will come. I mean, well, we didn't know the Baptist, but, you know, Old Testament, you know, just called a front.
Hello.
Different. Okay, what I gather, what I gather from what my wife's trying to say is that I'm breaking up.
Yeah, we cannot hear you for some time now.
Can you hear now?
I can hear you now.
Yes, it's better now.
Okay. Well, I had this red banner on my screen that says signal is poor, but that happened all the time. Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, let me see what you, let me try to restate what I might have said. You know, if you're hearing me now, I was talking about how Jesus presented the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. It covered how Jesus presented him as comforter. We covered how Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter that may be with you forever. And now we're covering the things that Jesus said the comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, will do when he comes. Also, I said that the Holy Spirit is the God's gift to the church, not to the world. Because Jesus said it himself in John chapter 14. He said, I will send you another comforter whom the world cannot receive, you know, and so forth. Because you know him not, but you know him and all that. So Holy Spirit is not God's gift to the world, you know, but it's God's gift to the church. Now, Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world in the form of salvation. So we read that in John chapter 3 and verse 16, where John said, and this is the text that everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world for salvation and for redemption. However, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. So that's the first punchline today. I want to make that separation. Holy Spirit is not given to the world because Jesus said the world cannot receive him. But you can, he told his disciples. And then he began to say the things that the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. And that's really where I'm going to focus on today. But let's see also how John the Baptist, you know, characterized, you know, Jesus before Christ actually himself, I mean, came, characterized the Holy Spirit, I meant. You know, he said, you know, in the book of Matthew chapter 3, you know, also in John, we see how he put it. But let's read a little bit of, you know, what he said in Matthew chapter 3:11. You know, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, to John the Baptist. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We know he was talking about Jesus. So from John's testimony here, who was the forerunner of Christ, we see that there's only one way to receive the baptism. Now, John was the one that told us it was baptism. Prior to that, we didn't know it was baptism. Joel, who prophesied it, he didn't call it baptism. He just said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, John, he came in the ministry, this baptism ministry. And we, in fact, still today, people refer to him as John the Baptist. And, you know, so he was the one that characterized this coming of the Holy Spirit and this giving of the Holy Spirit to us as a baptism. He was the first one to characterize it that way. And so John said, you know, but who's going to give it to you? Who's going to do this baptism? When I say it, I'm talking about baptism. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not an it. So when I say who's going to give it, I'm talking about who's going to give you this baptism. You know, now, this baptism, he said the Holy Spirit baptism comes with fire, and only Jesus can give you that baptism. Now, let's also remember the reason I said The OSB is not an it. It's because Jesus referred to him as him. You know, the chapter that we read in John chapter 14. He said, the Holy Spirit whom the world cannot receive and so forth. But you know him. And he said, he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. So I think before my connection got messed up, I was talking about that verse. The distinction between the Holy Spirit dwelling with you and then dwelling in you. But that's how Jesus characterized that difference. He said, he dwelleth with you now. Well, that was Jesus dwelling with them at the moment. But he said, you know, it will be in you later on. Well, we saw that story later on the day of Pentecost and so forth. Now, some people have related the day of Pentecost to the Feast of Weeks. You know, there was supposed to be, 50 days from the Passover. And so the Passover, the death and resurrection of Christ represented that. And there were exactly those number of days later when the Holy Spirit first came. You know, so that's why in the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And the Lord waited until that particular day. There was some significance to all of that that he was doing, but I can't go into that lesson today. Otherwise, we won't get out of here. But suffice to say that Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. Let me pray for a minute. Lord, I just want to pray that you give us victory over these statues with the internet, with the signal. And so that this lesson can come across. And for anything, any way that in which the devil is trying to take advantage of this, we put spiritual handcuffs on him in Jesus' name. Now let the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's try this again. So what we are talking about is that whereas some people think that when you come into the Lord is when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this lesson that we are reading in Acts chapter 19 tells us something to the contrary. These were disciples that had believed the Lord, were baptized by John, and had not received the Holy Spirit. Until this encounter with Paul. We also see that Jesus himself, you know, made a characterization of the two experiences. He said, he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. Okay, so having established that, let's talk about what happens then when people receive the Holy Spirit. I want to spend a little bit of time on this area because there's a lot of confusion and error, especially among so-called Pentecostals. Now, Pentecostals are people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with tongues. And I want to talk about that. The evidence of speaking with tongues. There's a lot of people that believe that. You know, but let me say it to you this way. All vehicles move. Let's just say vehicles that move on four wheels. I mean, let's say a car moves on four wheels, and you know, vehicles also have four wheels. You know, just because a car moves on four wheels and vehicles also have four wheels, it doesn't make every vehicle a car. Some vehicles may be a bus or a van or something else. You know, so let me put it to you this way. All believers will speak with tongues. Jesus said that himself. These signs shall follow them in Mark, you know, the last chapter of Mark when Jesus was sending them out, which we call the Great Commission, right? Jesus said there himself, these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, in my name, they do several things, you know, and he also said that, you know, They will speak with tongues. They will speak with new tongues, actually. In my name, they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Now, that's all believers. Now, but just because they speak with new tongues, or actually, I shouldn't say new tongues. Just because somebody speak with tongues, doesn't qualify them for anything. Because the devils speak with tongues. If you haven't seen that before, I have seen it up close and personal many, many times over and over again. You know, so the speaking in tongues thing is not just, I mean, it's not, it cannot be used as the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. Now, anecdotally, in other words, the historical record of all the times that they received the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, they did speak with tongues. So we do expect that that will happen. But when we focus on that, we lose the power, which is what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, that's one thing which is missing when people focus on tongues alone. Furthermore, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said unto them, he said, look, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from above. You know, as a matter of fact, even though Jesus had told them that you speak with new tongues, they were not really focusing on tongues when they were waiting in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They were waiting for to receive the endowment of power. Because that's what Jesus said. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, until the promise of the Father which I have spoken to you comes upon you. So they were all waiting there. You know, nobody really knew what to expect, but they knew something would happen. You know, and when it happened, when the power of God hit that room, we're told that there were cloven tongues of fire that appeared and sat on each of them. You know, but until that point, we didn't know, they probably didn't know they were going to speak in tongues, but they began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, notice that also in the book of Acts chapter 2, you know, I want to call out some spirit of error concerning all this speaking in tongues stuff. Now, I speak in tongues. So let me just settle that one. You know, and Paul even said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Actually, you know, there is more than just speaking in tongues. Even in the arena of tongues, there is diverse kinds of tongues, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not one of those gifts. Everybody speaks in tongues. But the gift, which is among the nine gifts talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, which relates to tongues. Two gifts are spoken of there. One of them is diverse kinds of tongues, not just speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And those are gifts. But everybody speaks with tongues. You know, so if you are a believer, you should. Now, but here's what happens when people focus their attention on speaking in tongues. This is all they focus on. Once they speak in tongues, in fact, their whole attention is on speaking with tongues. When they're thinking of receiving the Holy Spirit, they just want to speak with tongues. Some people will say, I want to speak with tongues. You know, and that's what they think the Holy Spirit is all about. And guess what? Once they speak with tongues, then they say, well, now I have the Holy Spirit. And guess what? They have no power. There's nothing in their lives. All they do is speak with tongues all day long. And as a matter of fact, not only do they speak with tongues, they use the speaking with tongues thing to be praying for the same things that unbelievers are praying for. Same things. They're just using tongues as a, you know, means of getting the same things. There is no work of sanctification. There's no work of breaking down the flesh. There's no work of the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings fire to your bones. There's none of that. We are just focusing on tongues. And I've even seen places where, you know, people are trying to pray for someone else, to receive the Holy Ghost and that they are speaking with tongues over there. I mean, that is so absurd, because when they were, there's no place in the Bible where we see that, you know, this place where Paul prayed for them, he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ and laid his hands on them. He didn't speak with tongues over them. So what happens is when this, all these Pentecostals, when we gather together, I'm a Pentecostal too. So when we gather together and we're praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost, we'll be speaking in tongues over them. I don't do that if I'm praying for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. I learned this many, many years ago. I do not speak in tongues. Because what? Guess what? They just learn how to speak in tongues and they begin to speak in tongues. I may speak in tongues when I'm praying or preaching if the Holy Ghost move on me. But when we're praying for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost, I don't speak in tongues. I just pray for them. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Because the Holy Spirit. I even saw one day somebody was praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost and was teaching them how to speak with tongues. And I'm like, what is this? This is crazy. I mean, this is foolishness. This is rubbish. How can you be teaching? In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Not that somebody taught them. You can't teach somebody how to speak with tongues. Somebody was out telling them, oh, just say this, la, 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 la. Just say blah, 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 blah. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, just say this, 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 this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is that what the scripture says the Holy Spirit will do when he comes? What about he will lead you into all truth? What about he will show you things to come? You know, what about he will guide you and remind you of all the things I've said? What about power to be my witnesses unto me? I mean, what about all these things? I mean, look at what happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost. Peter, who shied away from testifying before amazed, you know, he denied Christ. When the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and indicted the whole people, out of whom 3,000 were saved. He said, ye have crucified the Christ. And he was bold. And you can see the difference. And you can see that in Acts chapter 4, well, after the miracle that they did in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, then they grabbed them, the chief priests and everything, and threatened them to not perform miracles or do anything in the name of the Lord. They don't spread this doctrine in this place. And they threatened them and beat them and sent them away and said, don't speak in that name. Well, they went back, we're told in Acts chapter 4, that they went back to their own company and said to them, look, these people have been threatening us, so let's pray for more. Did they pray for more speaking in tongues? Of course not. They prayed for more power. You know, so let's read it here in Acts chapter 4. You know, when they went back to their company, you know, this is what they said. You know, they went to those that believed them and they prayed again. And the Bible says that the place was shaking again. Now, O Lord, verse 29, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal. These are signs and wonders. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And they were praying again for the boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the second time now. This was the same group of people in chapter 2 that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now here, they are praying. They are not praying to speak in tongues. They are praying for boldness, power, because they have threatened them and they are scared. You know, so they went back to the Lord that, look, we have to obey the Lord rather than these people. So Lord, give us boldness and confirm your word with signs and wonders that with power we may give witness to the resurrection of Christ. This was what they were all about in the early church. You know, so they were not praying to speak with tongues, folks. And so anybody who's been praying to speak with tongues, thinking that that's what shows they have the Holy Spirit, you know, they are in error. And it's because of erroneous teaching over the years, and people just focus on speaking with tongues. You will speak with tongues, but that's not the focus. That's a whole lot more. And as a matter of fact, you know, the tongues are given to us for many reasons. One of them is to help you tame this unruly tongue, a deadly poison, a deadly evil, which no man can tame. And if you read the story in Isaiah chapter 6, when the Isaiah said, in the year in which King Uzziah was died and so forth, that I saw the Lord lifted up and high, and his strength filled the temple and all that, in the first few verses of chapter 6 of Isaiah. And finally, when he saw the glory of God, he said, look, I am a man that is of unclean lips. Let me read it to you here. You know, I dwell in the midst of unclean people. I'm a man of unclean lips, and et cetera, et cetera. And here is what happened to him, you know, in Isaiah chapter 6. When he saw that, he said, woe is me. I am unclean. I am of unclean lips. I've seen the eyes of my eyes have seen the king. Then flew unto me, Isaiah 6 verse 4, one of the seraphims having a live coal in his hand, which are taken from the tongues of the altar, and he laid it on my mouth. And lo, he said to me, I have touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I mean, so there was a Holy Ghost. Lord put a branding. You know how cattle ranchers put a hot iron in the fire and brand their cattle? Well, God branded his tongue. This is one of the things the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues is supposed to do for us. You know, because we can't control that tongue. I mean, tongue speaking believers and everything like that. Sometimes we still live carnal lives. And we fly off the handle and say all kinds of things which we shouldn't say. You know, and you just act in ways that are even unbecoming of the grace of Christ. Because we have not learned how to let the Holy Spirit do the work in us which he wants to do. And we all focus on tongues. And so you speak in tongues, but you know better than anybody else, just the way you behave. You know, so let's put all that stuff aside. You will speak with tongues, but you are doing the Holy Spirit a disservice, because in all the places where Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit, he did not connect it with speaking with tongues. We've read in John chapter 14, we've read in John chapter 15, you know, and even in John chapter 16, which I haven't read, three chapters back to back. 14, he said it there. 15, he said it there. And John chapter 16. Listen to what he said in John chapter 16 again. He said in verse 13, he said the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you know, when it comes, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it to you. All things that my Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and give it to you. You know, and so on. Yet a little while, you know, and so forth like that. Begin to tell them. This time around, it's my Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth, showing you things to come, and all these things. In all these places, he's not connecting to speaking in tongues. Now, he did say you speak with tongues, but people leave out the weightier roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives and just focus on speaking with tongues. And so once you can speak with tongues, you say, oh, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. You know, ladies and gentlemen, believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit do speak with tongues. So, yes, that is true. However, speaking with tongues does not prove that anybody is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, because anybody speaks with tongues. In fact, you go to Pentecostal congregations, and if you have the gift of, you know, most people don't, so they can't tell. But if you have the gift of discerning of spirits, and you have the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, you can listen to people speaking in tongues, and you can tell. Everybody just speaking. They're just making sounds. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people. Now, I'm not making any light of this, but I'm speaking a very serious subject. That's why the devil didn't want me to say this, you know. And as long as he can keep you focused on just gibberish, you know, then he's defeated the believers, because there's no power. Did you know that on the day of Pentecost, what they were speaking was not gibberish? I mean, because when they came in, the Bible says that Jews that came in from everywhere. They said, you know, they heard people speaking in their own tongues, the very things. It wasn't just some gibberish thing they were saying. They actually understood. These people were understanding what they were saying. They were magnifying, I mean, the mighty works of God, magnifying God and so forth. Say, wow. Then they said, this people must be drunk. And Peter said, no, they are not drunk. This is what Joel prophesied and so on. You know, yes, there are tongues of angels, which we may be gibberish to us, but we don't understand it. But there are also tongues of men. There are also, and I tell you, speaking in tongues is real. It's not just making sound. You know, stammering lips and all of that, that's for unbelievers. You know, we speak in real tongues, you know, that have real meaning. And people have spoken in tongues, you know, that carried incredible messages, you know, and somebody understood it. You know, when I was a young man, I grew up in a fellowship where we were blessed with so many gifts. One of them was diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues and many other visions and things like that. I was in that fellowship for a long time, for about a year or so. And, you know, we had one of our brothers there that had the gift of interpretation of tongues. And he could understand everything that anybody spoke in tongues. You know, I mean, not just interpret it by faith. He could understand it. I mean, it was just when you spoke in tongues, you understood it. We just understood what you said. And he and I were friends. And we used to enjoy just playing around with the gifts of the Spirit back then. I was a young man, you know, and we would just speak in tongues and so forth. This young man, that was a day that, you know, my wife had a friend. This is my wife now. We were not even married then. She had a friend where they walked together many, many years ago. And that girl needed deliverance. She had demonic powers in her. And so my wife was having a party. I went there. And this brother came later. And we were just there and praying. And I said something in the spirit. And he said, who is the person? Because he understood what I said. You know. And he said, who is the person that needs deliverance? I said, well, you know, my wife has a friend here. He didn't know anything about it. But as I was saying something in the spirit, sometimes praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues is not always praying. Sometimes it's just speaking in tongues. You know, so, and he said, you know, oh, and I said, yeah, there's a sister here or somebody here that needs deliverance. He said, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? So we, you know, we decided, and God used during that time, I came closer to understanding speaking with tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, and different things like that. And God will give messages in tongues, just like mene mene tekel ofasin, and somebody will come and interpret it. There are many messages that were given in tongues. Interpretation will come. We will write it down. It was amazing. And eventually we went to pray for this girl. Yes, and she did have demonic powers. And that day when we were praying for her, and this is what the Holy Spirit also reveals. This is what some of the things he does. The Holy Spirit will reveal these things. Praying for that young girl, she was levitated. I mean, it wasn't under the power of the Holy Spirit. It was under the power of the devil. She was levitated about 2 or 3 feet in the air. Nobody was holding her. Things I saw with my own eyes. And that wasn't the Holy Spirit either. It was a devil. She had some demonic forces, of course. Eventually, she was delivered and so on and so forth. But, you know, what is the point I'm saying? The Holy Spirit speaking in tongues is real. You know, it's real. So don't think that by me saying these things, I'm saying it's not real. So real. In fact, I know it to be more real than many people. It is so real. But then there's also a lot of counterfeit. And many people that are in error. Just, you know, because all they do is focus in tongues. And they don't really, you know, let the Holy Spirit give them utterance. That's what they said in the Acts chapter 2. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they spake. It wasn't as somebody taught them how to speak in the tongues. How can you teach somebody how to speak in tongues? The moment you hear that somebody speaking in tongues, that being taught, then you already know that didn't come from the Lord. and then you go to a place and everybody's speaking in tongues and they all sound the same. And if you have this discerning and gift of ability to understand different kinds of tongues, you know that they're all speaking gibberish, you know. Now, there's real power and there's real speaking in tongues. But let's put that aside for a minute and to know that, look, that's not all that the Holy Spirit is all about. In fact, those are the lesser gifts. They are there to tame, help you tame this tongue and help you to pray, you know, pray in the Spirit, build up your most holy faith and so forth, you know. But when it switches into diverse kinds of tongues, then it comes into, you know, edifying. Especially when interpretation comes along with that, it's equal to prophecy and it edifies people and God can reveal incredible things. I mean, we've had directions from God through tongues and interpretation down to something that looked like a jigsaw puzzle. Somebody speaking tongues is interpreted. We write it down. Another person speaking tongues, we write it down and put it together. And then you see what God is saying. Powerful stuff, you know. And then prayers, of course. I mean, you can run circles around the devil who is speaking in tongues. So powerful. But also it is real. Sometimes it's a real language. It's not just something. One brother that I know one day went to a fellowship and the Holy Spirit moved him and he went to somebody and laid hands on them and began to pray. He thought he was praying in tongues, you know. And the other man ran out. He just ran out of the place. And he was like, why is he running off? You know. And then it turned out that what he thought he was praying in tongues, he was just, the other man was in, I mean, he was understanding it that his house was on fire, literally burning. And he ran out of that place. And he went, sure enough, when he got there, his house was on fire. And came back later to testify. And this brother said, wow. I didn't even know that that's what I was saying. I thought I was just praying for the guy. But the Holy Spirit, he was actually saying, sending a message to the other guy. The Holy Spirit interpreting that, you know, the other man did not have the gift of interpretation of tongues. But this man was speaking in a language. They were not from the same place. You know, he was speaking in a language which the other one understood. This is what was happening on the day of Pentecost. This is in real life. You know, in fact, this person that I'm saying, I know him till today. Actually attends the same church as I do here in Phoenix. You know, so it's not a fable. It's not a, you know, it's a real story. The Holy Spirit can bring interpretation and powerful messages through tongues, but that's not the only thing that he does. He does all these other things that we have seen here. Power from on high. Fire in your bones. Teaching you many things. And my favorite, inspiration of the Almighty. Yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit, he's the governor. And you've heard me speak about that inspiration of the Almighty many, many times. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's the teacher, he's the one that's with us forever. You know, so, and then here's another thing I want to tell people. Stop saying, if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, stop saying something said to me. So it's not something. We need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. You know, you say, I hear many believers say all the time. Sometimes I catch myself trying to say that, but I've stopped doing that. I don't say something said to me anymore, you know, but because I know that, no better now. It's not something. It's the Holy Ghost. You know, let's acknowledge him as he is. You will hear believers that say, oh, I was about to do and something said, no, it's not something. The Holy Spirit is not a something. It's the Holy Spirit. Let's acknowledge him as such. And he will guide you. He will speak to you. And he's not a something. He is the Holy Spirit. So stop saying something said to me. It's the Holy Spirit. Say the Holy Spirit said to me. Hallelujah. And most of the time when people say, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me. Now in the New Testament, it's actually the Holy Spirit that said to you. Because that's why Jesus said, I will give you somebody to abide with you for. And it is important that I leave, because if I don't leave, he cannot come. Why? Because Jesus had the Spirit of God, not by measure. When he was here, Holy Spirit was on him. The fullness of the Godhead, according to Colossians 2:8-9, The fullness of the Godhead was upon him, and there was nothing else to share with anybody. You know, he had 100%. So Jesus said, look, it is expedient for me, for you actually, that I go away, because if I don't go, you cannot have this Holy Spirit. You know, so that's what he meant there. You know, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, you guys cannot have the Holy Spirit. You can read that in John chapter 16 and verse 7. In fact, let me read that to us. I know we've been distracted a lot throughout this lesson, you know, so it looks like room is running longer than it should. But let me read this to us. John chapter 16. Here are some things that Jesus said. He said, look, I go my way, and all of these things he's talking to them. He said, look, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Why is it expedient? It's like it is paramount that I go. If I don't go, the Comforter cannot come. Praise God. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, you can also see here the revelation of the Godhead in many of these things that Jesus is speaking. Sometimes you say the Father will send in my name. Sometimes we say I will send from the Father. Sometimes you say I will send to you. It's all the same. You know, but that's not my subject today, but this one here that says, if I don't go, the Comforter cannot come. You know, that's it. Because he had the Holy Spirit, not by measure. And there was no sharing at that time. That's why Jesus said, well, he's with you now in a form, but he will be in you later on. So when Jesus went away, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, now he has shared for this, which you now both see and hear. That's now shared for. The Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is given. He said, this promise is unto you, according to Acts chapter 2. He began to talk to them in verses 36 through 39. He said, this same Christ whom you crucified, God has appointed him to be Lord and Christ. And he indicted them. And he began to tell them that, look. And then the people said, look, but what shall we do? When they were pricked. This is what the Holy Spirit, when we acknowledge him as such, he gives such a powerful, powerful backing to the preaching of the gospel. So powerful. And it pricked the heart of the people that were hearing it. And they said, you know, what shall we do? And he said, well, this is what you shall do. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, all the times that they were baptized in the Acts of the Apostles, it was always in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we have denominations and people that argue that how you should be baptized, but I'm not going to argue that today, but check it out. All the places where they were baptized, it was always in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus, throughout the Acts of the Apostles. Now, in Matthew, he actually did say, go you into all the world and teach them gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He said that. You know, and he was correct. You know, Matthew chapter 28, what Jesus said there, and the same thing that in Acts chapter 2, it's the same thing. It's no different. Just like Jesus saying, I will send from the Father, and the Father will send to you, and all that, and it all seems as if it's confusing, but he's saying the same thing. You know, the revelation is, you have to see that the Lord thy God is one Lord. Once you understand that, you will not be confused. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 28. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said, and it's correct. Now, if Jesus said that, and in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, Peter said this, you know, it's either they are contradictory or they are saying exactly the same thing, and they cannot be contradictory, ladies and gentlemen. You know, so in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and Peter was preaching this gospel, and they asked him, what shall we do? And he said, made this statement to them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you take this verse in Acts 2 and verse 38, you put it side by side with this Matthew 28 that we just read, where I say, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, you find I was saying exactly the same thing. Could not have been different. If it was different, then the scripture is contradictory. You know, but if you see that it was not different, then you begin to understand that whether you are talking of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or you are talking about Jesus Christ, it's the same thing. You know, the name of Jesus Christ is the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When you put these two verses together, they're different. And so Peter understood that. Holy Ghost also understood that and made the Peter to say it this way rather than the other way. And so today, you know, we see that, you know, we who understand this, if I conduct baptism now, I don't baptize anybody in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. It's really the same thing, you know, but that's how they did it throughout the book of Acts. And so when they are baptized properly, they receive the Holy Spirit. And we focus on that. Now, that being said, you know, let me also drop this here that there is not a single scripture, because I see people pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And some people also say in the name of God the Father and the name of God the Son, the name of God, all of those things are in error. There is no single verse in this entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation where you will see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit used in the same sentence. There's no single scripture. Yet, people do that. I've seen it at baby dedications and so other kinds of things. And they want to pray for people at marriages. Anytime they want to bless somebody in the name of the Lord, they think they have to say God the Father, God the Son, and God. It's not even in the scriptures. You can't slice God up into three parts or seven parts. You know, no. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy, from the very beginning, the Lord thy God is one Lord. One Lord. Not three Lords. It's not that it's God the Father, and it's God the Holy Spirit, and it's God the Son. There is one God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that the one God is the very God that made heaven and earth. You know, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of his Son to the world. And then the Holy Spirit is the gift of his Spirit to the church. But it's still the same one, self-same Spirit. Now, you know, that's all I can say about that, you know, because I get too much in this lesson. But Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, what are you going to do if I tell you a heavenly thing? And he said, well, let me drop one heavenly thing for you right here. And this was John chapter 3, verse 12. And then in verse 13, he dropped something. You know, John chapter 3, verse 12, he said, look, if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, what are you going to do if I tell you heavenly things? And he said, okay, well, here's one. Chew on this one for a minute. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's standing right here, talking to Nicodemus and saying the Son of Man is in heaven. Well, chew on that for a minute, Jesus said, you know. You know, so he just left it there. He didn't explain it. But see, it's a mystery. But the mystery is not, God is not a three-headed monster. No, that's not a mystery. The mystery is in 1 Timothy 3:16. You know, great is the mystery of godliness. God, one God, was manifested in the flesh. That's it. You know, so same God, but when he came in the flesh, he's called the Son of God. Because everybody that is born of a woman must be called either a son, if they are male, or if they are female, they'll be called a daughter. Wherefore also the angel, when he spoke to Mary, he said, you know, when Mary said, well, how can this thing be if I have not seen a man? And the angel said, well, you know, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Wherefore also that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. You know, that's why he's called the Son of the Highest. Because whose son are you going to call him? You can't call him the son of Joseph, you know, which some people thought in his day. It wasn't a son of Joseph. You know, it was the son of the Holy Ghost. You know, so if you don't believe that the Holy Ghost is God, then that means that Jesus has two fathers, because the Holy Ghost was the father of that pregnancy. Everybody knows that. And yet, Jesus claimed that God was his father. So if Mary was pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is different from God, then Jesus has two fathers. You know, so, but that's absurd. That same Holy Ghost that came up. You see, when God is moving in this realm, we call him the Holy Spirit. We call him the Holy Ghost. But it's the same eternal spirit. That's it. You know, it's the same eternal spirit. When he dishes out a portion of that eternal spirit to us, we call him the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost or this and that and so forth. But it's the same thing. Jesus, you know, God is the eternal source of all things. There's no different spirits. Now, there are many scriptures that talk about the seven spirits of God, the this and that and so forth. You cannot quantify God as a man counts in the natural. There are different reasons why God does those things. But that's what the Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes. When he comes, he will show you these things. And then you will understand that, wow, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. The role of the Holy Spirit among all things at this end of age is to bring the sons of God into sonship. You know, and I'll have to continue that tomorrow. That the powerful role. Today I spent a lot of time trying to let us know that it's not just about speaking in tongues, but the role to make us understand who he is and bring us to the fullness of the sonship, you know, is the greatest role that the Holy Spirit is doing in our age. And he's the governor, and he's going to do that. And look, the Holy Spirit will convict anyone who's a true child of God of something that is holding them back. He will do it too, and they will repent. That's one of the things he does. He will convict. He does not condemn, but he will convict. And there is not a single one of us who are true children of God that will have something hidden in our lives that we have not repented of and expect to go to heaven. The Holy Spirit will bring it to you, and you will have to repent of it, convict you of it. That's his work. That's what he does. Holy Spirit will also enable us and help us to put the flesh under. But that part you must do yourself. But he'll enable you to do it. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. It's a role that we do ourselves. However, Holy Spirit enables us to do it. There's more to come, and I will talk more about that tomorrow. We'll develop this concept a little more. But here is a summary of what we have said today, despite all the interruptions. You know, and I noticed that since we rebuked the devil, took his hands off, and the room is clean now. All right. So despite all the interruptions, what the lesson we are giving today is introducing the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, so let's remember him, that the Holy Spirit is the gift of God to the church, whereas Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. Let's also remember all the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. It's not just about speaking in tongues, you know. And I spend a great deal on that, because it's a lot of people on this platform, including myself, I speak in tongues a lot. So it was necessary for us to understand that that's not all that the Holy Spirit does. Otherwise, you miss out on many things that you're supposed to do. And you speak in tongues and still there's no power. You speak in tongues and there's still no change. You speak in tongues, there's no miracles, there's no signs, there's no wonders. You know, so we will speak in tongues and we will have signs and wonders. We will have everything that the Holy Spirit offers. We will not neglect one or the other. You know, so we'll have a complete package. And last but not the least, when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, he will testify of me. That's him, Jesus. You know, and the Spirit, you know, Bible says in Revelation, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is to testify of Jesus Christ. You know, so that's how God represents himself to us now, is give us the Holy Spirit and he will teach us everything that we need to know, bring us into fullness of the sonship. So we'll be talking about that some more. I'm going to leave it there for today. It's been a long room, especially because of the interruptions, but I want us to talk about it. So that's why I titled this, Let's Talk About It. I actually didn't think I was going to teach for this long. I wanted to be more interactive and talk, but nonetheless, you know, here we are. So we've talked about it. Let's talk about it. Let me hear your thoughts about the Holy Spirit, what his role is, what you think he's here to do for us, and so on and so forth. And if any other scriptures came to your mind as we were talking, there's more that I will talk about tomorrow when I get into the role of Holy Spirit bringing us into sonship. You don't want to miss that one. But, you know, today I cover the basics, you know, which all of us know about, and many of us focus around the Holy Spirit and so forth. So we cover the basics, you know, but powerful thing. If as anyone that have not received this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, we invite you to seek the same. But don't be looking for speaking with tongues. Be looking for endowment of power, you know. And speaking of tongues will come. It's there. But it'll be a distraction if that's all you're focused on. And once you speak with tongues, you won't be seeking him anymore. You think you got it, but you haven't. Now, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were in the upper room with one accord. They gathered together 120 to receive the power that was promised to come. The Holy Ghost fell upon each one. As the Spirit gave to each, they spoke with tongues. Jews that came in from everywhere, they couldn't understand what was happening up there. But Peter stood in the midst of the crowd. He lifted his voice and he said it aloud. He said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my spirit outpour, not only to me, but also to you. Every child of God that once can get it too. You can get that power of the Holy Ghost. That's a song that was sung by Andrew Couch, and I love that song. You know, you can get that power of the Holy Ghost. And it can transform your lives. I'm going to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Father, for the discussion. I pray that you inspire others to discuss and let us all be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.